This podcast features adults using adult language. You have been warned.
Here we go.
Even Jim's rolling initiative now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hot.
Done.
21.
Yeah, you hear them crunching twigs and stuff as they're walking up to the tower. You know what's
11.
Going on. 11
for Elf.
I add right. this to my little roll.
Sorry, 21, Vinwin?
I got 9.
9 for Jim. And Omen?
It would have been worse. I've got 11.
All right.
The Eladrin and I, not the Elf.
Vinwin.
The
Eladrin and
I. Yes.
You know things are about to go sour. You're ready.
I'm ready. So I have initiative, but I've yet to see anybody.
Correct.
All right. Well, screw it. I got back up. I moved to here.
Okay. As soon as you enter the tower, you see there are two leather-clad humans with helmets, and they had been seeking refuge under some parts of the tower that weren't being doused. But they have since gotten up and loaded crossbows.
They've loaded crossbows? Oh, great.
So that's
a great position to be in.
The Binwin tradition
continues.
Except now, it's like, since we're third level, now it's a nest of humans.
All right, don't worry about it.
Inside the tower, you can see there is a staircase that sort of crawls up the side of the tower, but it doesn't go far before it comes to an abrupt end at what used to be a higher floor that's all but gone. Somebody has also punched a hole through the masonry floor, and it just drops into darkness.
Okay.
And there's rain pouring down through it.
So in the center of this tower, there's no cover.
That's correct.
Okay.
There's some debris and wreckage on the ground, but nothing that you can really hide behind. You could get higher ground by climbing some ways up the staircase. But the tower itself is open to the sky, and there's no furnishings.
So, considering we already rolled initiative, and I decided I was going to move to here, mm-hmm. which is like one square,
mm-hmm.
even though I technically have more movement, I can't continue on to him.
Yeah, you can.
Can I?
You only move like two squares.
Yeah, you can keep moving.
Well, because I didn't know where they were when I...
No, that's okay. So you've only partly moved. You can keep moving.
Okay, so I'm going to move up...
Yeah, totally.
...to this guy.
Okay.
So Tide of Iron is an attack that lets you move somebody.
Correct. And then you sort of follow them.
If you want to. Can you move them in any direction?
It's a push effect, so you have to push them into a square farther from you.
Okay. So there's no pushing him down into this hole.
Not in his current position.
Okay.
Because you'd be pushing him into a square that's not any farther away.
That's my fantasy.
Yeah. I'm pushing him into the wall. All right.
If there's a hole, push somebody in it. If there's a fire, push somebody in it.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely. Well, Cleave is not going to do me any good because that other guy is not adjacent or close.
Right.
So I'm going to definitely Tide of Iron. I'm going to give this guy a push, let him know I mean business.
The other detail I want to mention now that you're up close to this guy and you can sort of see through his
helm. He's a wyvern.
a wyvern. Is that it's sort of streaked by rain, but you see he's got white paint on his face that sort of bears loose resemblance to a skull.
Good, I don't have to yell surrender now. I was going to do that as a minor action. It's going to offer him a chance to drop that crossbow.
But he has a skull on his face. I think that's going to hit.
16 plus my... Wait, all right. So remind me real quick. How am I forgetting all this? So I roll.
Yeah. You're totally
16.
Fine. So you add your attack bonus with your weapon.
Which is this, plus 8?
Yes, exactly, which
Jesus.
Is that. But you actually, we got you that axe. So
yeah.
You actually just add 9 to any attack you do with that axe.
All right. Well, 16 plus 9 versus...
Wow.
Versus
yeah, you punch
AC.
Through his
25,
flimsy leather armor.
Awesome.
Blood flows.
Oh, this is that D12 that we were so excited
yes,
about.
Yes, I know.
Would that be this?
Yes.
It would be.
Oh, no. Two.
I'm less excited about it now.
Hey, what's this plus 8 on here? Is that every time? No.
Yes, every time. So you just did 10 points of damage rolling a 2.
Well done.
And I knock him back a square.
This was Tide of Iron?
Yep.
Okay.
So I punch him back here, and I am going to follow him.
Got it.
To let him know.
It's good. The great thing is that obviously as a crossbowman, he presents a lot of damage and a lot of danger to us, but he can't shift far enough away from you to be able to shoot that weapon without penalty. So that's great.
That was a brutal first attack.
Yeah,
indeed.
You open it up.
You react much quicker than your friends. At this point, the two human guards call out for help, and from somewhere beyond the tower, over near the camp, you hear more voices.
Excellent.
The one with the crossbow, all he's going to do on his first move is shift
away
to there. And then for his second move, or his second action, he is going to kind of peer around the broken edge of the tower and yell, get over here! And all he does is look like he's ready to defend himself. His buddy shoots you.
It's fine.
However, he only rolls a 17 versus AC.
No, that's not going to be enough. That careens right off my scale.
And then still before Omen and... I hate calling you Alf.
I appreciate that.
Can go. Some reinforcements arrive from the camp.
Dwarves?
Humans.
They look like humans.
And you see their faces are painted like skulls. Oh, this guy's just running over to that way.
Some cult of the undead.
Right.
Ridiculous.
You know how to be shit.
And it is worth mentioning that all four of these fellows who just rushed up to you are minions.
Okay. So they are not...
So the minions, they hit really hard, but they die.
They go down
easy. Yeah.
All right. So basically, they're ready to be hit with AoEs.
Exactly.
Only one of them can attack you, though, Binwin. He is going to try to hit you with a mallet. He rolls a 19 versus AC.
Well, my AC is 19, so
all right.
A hit.
He smacked you. He does 6 damage.
All right.
And now, Alf.
Even though he just said he wouldn't call you out.
I know. Did you see me cry a little bit?
No, that pierced my heart.
I know, as it did mine.
Listen.
Quiet, you.
I've been 6 points of damage. That shit needs to be avenged.
You're right. For great vengeance.
You have it. You have what it takes.
I do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. My movement is 6, so I'm going to move up next to you. I swear an oath of enmity against this...
Crossbow...
This crossbow-wielding brigand who has dared to wound a member of...
Attempt to wound. Attempt to wound.
I was not
wounded.
All right, let's be clear. All right, so when he has when he has your Oath of Enmity on him, what does that mean?
It's essentially the same thing as marking him. So one of my powers is this thing called Divine Guidance. This is an encounter power, and it's a burst 10. Immediate interrupt. Whoa. An ally within 10 squares of you makes an attack roll against your Oath of Enmity target.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Target, triggering ally, effect, target makes a second attack roll and uses either result.
Sweet.
So that's kind of nice. Sort of like, you know, free do-over. I believe that's the only power that I have that really affects you guys. I have this other thing. I have an at-will power that's super awesome, where I do 1 weapon plus wisdom modifier damage.
Yeah.
But then I shift 1 square and I slide the target 1 square into the square that I just occupied.
Awesome.
So we should be able to use that to set up some combat advantage situations.
Yeah.
That one's pretty awesome. And then I have a couple things that do...
You can do that right now.
Yes. And then I have a couple of things that do sort of like radiant damage and that sort of thing.
Damn. Cool.
Well, here, cut this guy down and we'll work on his minions.
All right. So... I have sworn Oath of Enmity against Crossbow Dude there.
Crossbow.
And, yes. And I will... I think I'm just going to make a basic attack against him. Right? Is that the best way to do this? I have a...
What are your at-wills?
Yeah, you can use your at-will.
Yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and use that... what's that called? Sorry. It's on...
We got to get
the name
cards.
Of the,
yeah,
name
yeah,
of
we got to get
the name
that's
on
a break.
On a different page. That's...
The D&D audience is all ears at this point.
Yeah, I know, they're very excited.
They have never
it's called Overwhelming Strike. Overwhelming Strike.
All right.
Overwhelming Strike. Let me just write that down on the correct page.
Overwhelming Strike seems like a good one.
Yeah. So I will use an Overwhelming Strike against him. And Overwhelming Strike is Wisdom versus AC.
Mm-hmm.
So, it doesn't matter because I rolled a 1.
Oh.
So, you know what? It's time to retire this cool little metal
awesome
D20
build-up, though.
This cool little metal D20 that I got from Think Geek can go into the fuck-off bag.
Fucking Think Geek.
The pouch.
Sorry, phrase.
Jim, you're watching as your friends storm the tower. There is sort of a ruckus in there, and then you hear some horrible, horrible Eladrin expression.
He sees a cool bird fly through the air.
Firework.
Pow. But before you go, Omen.
Yeah.
Are you going to be the third to rush blindly into the tower?
I think yes.
Jim is watching the fish in this pond over here.
The koi or something?
Yeah.
They're so tranquil.
So relaxing.
I assume I can't cut that corner.
Correct.
Yeah. Try to cut through these guys and cut off the attack there.
Okay.
So I'm going to move on that hunched minion there. Deploying a powerful ability that I've come to enjoy called...
Jesus, you have a whole deck of cards
over
there.
I have all the stuff that clerics can do printed out as cards just so I can remember it. Here we go. We're looking at an 18 versus AC.
Hit.
I deal 1d10 plus 5. Mm-hmm. I know, right? That sucks. That's 8 points, but okay. I'll take it.
All right, Jim.
Okay, now the real turn.
Jim, let's see, I can move 6, right? That's my speed.
Certainly.
So I can see in there.
You absolutely can.
Yeah, you can see the dwarf.
You see 4 evil skull-faced minions and 2 skull-faced crossbowmen.
Do you know these guys?
We don't know them.
Okay.
I'm busy trying to get my sword out of the scabbard.
So, Jim's magic missile, it says your stats using Staff of Light are +1, and I have a Staff of Light, right?
Exactly, exactly. So when you want to roll an attack with that, you roll a d20, add 7, and here's your damage. Those cards print out all the stats you need to play. So we have a crew in here. So magic missile, single target.
Yeah, magic missile, single target.
Or scorching burst. I mean, if they're going to be in these little bunches like this, these little bunches of oats.
Scorching burst though is only one area burst 1 within 10 squares. So that means it hits one person within 10 squares.
Burst no. 1. So it is.
Yeah, so it hits
from a square. It's 1 square in every direction. So it's actually 3 by 3.
Right. Yeah.
And I can put it out 10 squares.
Yeah, anywhere. So you could hit it here, and it would hit all 3 here, or here, and hit all 3 there.
I'm going to drop it over here, because I told you I'd watch out for you, and I'm going to.
Yes, Jim talk magic, a man of his word.
I'm going to drop a Scorching Burst on this guy.
Okay.
So the first thing I roll is to see if I even do anything, right? If I remember?
Yeah, you're rolling to see if you...
Well,
you
got hit, right? It's individual hits on each guy, right?
Exactly. So start with the guy at the center.
Start with the guy in the center. So I roll a d20.
D20 yeah. +7. That's gonna fucking hit.
19.
That's against the reflex too, right? The reflex defense.
Scorching burst.
19 plus 7
versus 26. Reflex.
There you go. That's gonna hit him. He's a minion. He goes down. Burnt toast.
I don't have to roll damage.
Bye. No, it won't. You'll do max damage.
Yeah, minions are essentially one hit wonders. Okay. They.
So that's why AOEs just clear them.
Yeah, exactly.
You can do the other minion next.
Yeah.
Yep.
14 plus 7.
Yeah. He goes 21 down. On that one. See, this is what
this
I'm talking
is why you
about.
Bring Jim Dark Magic.
To the party.
And then the human?
Right.
17.
Jeez!
Oh, man.
That's going to hit him as well.
24 reflex on that as well.
You're going to have to roll damage against him because he's not a minion.
So, Scorching Burst damage is 1d6 plus my intelligence modifier, which is 5, right?
Right, but we have the staff on there.
Which is another +1.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's d6 plus 6.
Yeah.
Right, okay. 4, so 10.
These are the best rolls of the game.
Wow.
Yeah. We're coming on strong.
Okay, that bloodies him, which means he's under half his hit points.
Nice.
Nice job.
This is the round of the century.
Jim gives you a little wink.
Jim Dark Magic.
All right. A little magical wink.
Finwin.
Yes.
And being a square away, I had a front row seat to the Jim Dark Magic experience.
I'm going to...
You were looking down trying to unhinge your sword.
I was like, what the hell? Where are those guys I was going to fight? There's just smoking boots on the ground.
But he probably doesn't even know that Jim did it. He probably thinks this has something to do with your scabbard.
He looks down again, what?
Mother was right, if I do touch my scabbard.
Starting with the...
Are we back at the top?
We are, with Binwin.
Starting at the non-minion, I'm going to do Cleave. Which will target the second guy as well.
Yes.
Since he's a minion, so wish me luck here.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
So 18 plus 8
hit.
Versus. All right. So 1 weapon versus. Whoa.
Yeah, d12, the big one right there.
There we go. So 10 plus my strength modifier, which is 4, so 14 points of damage.
Perf.
To him.
Okay.
And then an enemy adjacent to you other than the target takes damage equal to my strength modifier, so that is 4. The minion takes 4 points of damage.
Okay, the minion is
Minion's
dead.
Minion's gone, right?
Minions are dropping like flies. And then the bad guys.
Wow, he's in a world of hurt here. Shift over there. There we go.
All right, the crossbowman takes steps back.
They're going to have a good round.
And
a shift does not provoke an attack of opportunity.
A shift never provokes.
Yeah.
Unless you're built in a certain way.
Right.
A warrior can be built in a certain way to take
advantage.
So what's
the difference between a shift and moving?
A shift is a move.
But a move would provoke
Yes.
Exactly. But when you do a move action, you can move up to your full. That's six squares. A shift uses your whole move action as one space.
You're moving cautiously.
So you're sacrificing distance to not provoke an attack of opportunity.
Exactly.
Okay.
So they take a cautious step away and try to plug Aelfel and Binwin. Starting with Aelfel, that's a 24 versus AC.
Oh, so it turns out that hits me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to strike.
Ouch.
For 7 points of damage.
Ouch.
Binwin, that's a natural 20.
Wow, so that's an automatic hit?
Crit.
That's a crit, automatic max damage, so you take 10 points of damage.
Oh, no!
I took 7, you said?
That's correct, yeah.
Well, I'm still 4 points away from bloody.
And then Binwin, this guy will step up in front of his buddy
and try to bash you over the head with his mallet.
I'm frightened.
You'll be okay.
22 versus AC.
That's okay. A hit. Yeah,
does 6 points of damage.
Okay, so I'm officially bloodied.
I'll fix it. Mom will fix it.
And we come
to... Fix it.
Aelfel.
Alright, now it's time for you to do your job.
Alright.
Let's go get him, Al.
You took the safety strap off your sword.
Yay! Come on. Impress us.
Alright, so Radiant Vengeance.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Against this dude awesome.
It's range?
Here. No, so I move forward one square here.
Yep.
Like this. And then Radiant Vengeance. This is calling on the power of your deity. Ooh. You transfer the pain of your wounds to a foe.
And
regain some resilience. So this is what's awesome about this. It's an at-will divine power. I have an implement, so I get +1 to it. It's a standard... Oh, it is ranged. Standard action ranged 10. Target one creature. Attack is wisdom versus reflex. The hit is 1d8 plus wisdom radiant damage. And I gain temporary hit points equal to my wisdom modifier.
Splendid.
It's very exciting. So after that lovely build-up, let's see if I can do better than roll a 1. Yeah,
so since it's ranged, it's better for him to do it back there.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I'm going
to
stay where I am. If you use an
ranged ability, when you're in base-to-base contact with someone, they get a free hit.
Oh, right. Yeah. I remember
okay,
that.
So
I just go back.
Yeah. So I call down Radiant Vengeance upon you. And I roll 5, which is not really good.
Let's add it up.
It's against his will, though. Is that right?
Radiant Vengeance is wisdom versus reflex. So 5. So it's a 8 versus reflex.
Yeah, reflex on the crossbowman.
I'm pretty sure that's going to... Turns out that I thought I had untied my thing, but it turns out that I tied it back.
It's all right. You'll get him next time, Al.
All right.
It's not easy doing this.
It's like some crazy shipman's knot down there now. It's a huge fucking mess.
This was an overhand sheepshank.
The crossbowman says, Jaras is going to skin the flesh from your bones and turn you into one of his thralls.
Whoa!
Who?
Jaras.
And you're like, who? No, Jaras.
Jaras.
That's who we work for.
It's with two S's.
Kind of a lich guy. You'll see him. He's cool. So does Omen Drawn go?
Yes. Hot on the heels.
Yeah, I'm going to go after the other guy. Okay, so...
I'd like to think that the intern is just a little nervous. And wants to make a good impression on the group, you know?
Yeah.
So...
Everyone has trouble their first time, Al. Listen. Not me. Jim didn't. I came out of the gate strong.
What I did was amazing. I'm gonna hit you with the healing word.
I like it. And this allows me to spend a healing surge, is what you're saying?
Yeah, a healing surge plus a d6.
Ooh.
Nice.
That's nice.
16 points of damage back.
Fresh. Okay, that's my minor.
Yes, as you heal Binwin, there is this sort of huge roll of thunder in the skies overhead.
Jim is terrified.
Well timed.
All right, I'm going to knock this guy down, the minion here.
Okay.
It's my powerful righteous brand. You heard about it. Now experience it. That's a fucking 1.
Oh, no! The symbol came up! God, that goddamn symbol!
Okay.
The skull-faced minion smiles at you.
That's a critical miss.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, I healed you.
Jim?
Critically.
Jim's up?
He is.
All right, man. It's time.
So this guy's bloodied, right?
Correct.
Yeah, it's up to you have a bunch of options here.
Oh, man. I think it's time for Jim's magic missile.
Yeah, I think I'm going to magic missile this guy right here and see if I can't just
clean him out.
Take him out.
Here it comes.
I got to take care of my buddy Al over here. So I'm rolling first to see if I do anything.
Indeed.
That's a 7.
Plus.
How do I know what I add to it?
It's right down there.
Your stats using Staff of Light +1, +7 attack bonus.
So it's 14. You have a total of 14 plus. Against his reflex save.
14 against reflex? Yes. Just misses.
Ugh.
The magic missile blows a chunk of rock out of the wall behind him.
Tough luck, Al.
An additional chunk.
Yes. Would you like to move at all, or are you happy where you are?
I'm good.
You're welcome to hide.
I'm good where I am.
Okay.
Let's see. Next up is Binwin.
Yes!
All right, start cutting.
You are tired of getting pounded on by this.
I am.
You want to get into a good cleave position?
I do, but
you could sidle diagonally.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, when I do this,
you could also tie to iron. From
that's
there.
True.
And push him into the.
If you so wished.
I could.
He's going to die anyway, though.
Yeah. We also cleave him.
If you tie to iron from here, he's in the pit.
You can actually tie to iron the crossbowman from where he is.
Because it has to be away from you.
He just has to push you further away.
You should do it. So your options are to either cleave and deal damage to both, or tie to iron that guy
I have to knock him in the hole.
Yes, obviously. Yeah.
That is like a Soul Calibur bring out.
Yeah.
I cannot resist that. So, we're targeting a tide of iron on the crossbowman.
Come on.
8 plus 8.
Right.
So that is a 16 versus armor class.
Insufficient.
You know what, Jerry?
Yes.
We way fucked up.
How did we fuck up?
Because
it's Tide
of
stat?
Iron has a requirement that we did not notice.
What's that?
It requires a shield, of which I do not have.
That's going to be a huge problem going in the future.
Perhaps you could improvise a shield from...
We need to fix this in post. I will no longer be using Tide of Iron until I can rectify this.
I'll figure out what you need.
All right.
If only there was some way we could acquire.
I'm glad I missed on that.
Yeah, no worries.
You know what? That happens. That happens in D&D campaigns sometimes.
Yeah. Did you give a PHP back there?
I do.
And
I just realized what you've been trying to tell me this whole time. I didn't understand.
Oh, what's up?
This card does all the math.
Yeah.
When it says 1d6 plus 6, it's taking into account my int and my weapon.
No, that's why I made those.
That
for
is
you.
The wonder.
Yeah, the reason
of
it's taking
D&D
me so long to figure
builder.
All this stuff out is I don't have these neat little cards that you guys
have.
I'm so old school. It's all like notes on paper.
You tried to tell me that three times. I was like,
Well, no, I wanted it to be fun for you. Yeah, no, that's fantastic. Okay, so I'll find you another at will. We'll just continue on.
Absolutely. After Binwin goes, it's the bad guys. The crossbowmen don't like being next to Binwin.
Yes, I can imagine why.
And he will take a step back and try to shoot Binwin once again with his crossbow. This time rolling a 19.
Well, that hits.
That hits just on.
For 6 points of damage.
That's all right.
The other one, flustered by the Aladrin, who continues to throw epithets at his deck in his general direction...
Aladrin cursings actually only occur in the throat. They don't actually.
It's all pretty guttural. It's just a sound wave.
I believe a 20 hits you.
It does. Okay. Is it what is that, against AC or what? Yeah, that does hit
For 7.
Ouch! Do not want.
And at that point in time, the minion guard tries to bash. Oh, he has a choice now: Omen or Binwin.
Omen's looking pretty good.
Right about
Binwin
now,
Binwin can take it. That's my job.
Is Binwin bloodied currently?
No, I'm. 28. I'm 8 points away from bloody.
Then he will turn around and smack the cleric, rolling a big number, 25.
That's sufficient
for 6 points of damage.
Okay,
and that brings us to Alifel.
Oh, I'm so angry now. I'm furious. Mm-hmm. It's radiant vengeance again because I get those temporary hit points.
Deep breath, Al.
Yeah, right. So wisdom versus reflex.
It's gonna happen.
13.
It's not bad, huh?
16.
Hit.
Yes.
All right, so 16 is the magic number.
Yes.
All right, now dish it up.
All right, so
it's
a
D8
plus Wiz. D8 plus Wiz, yeah. Wait, that's not a D8. That's a D8. 7.
We'll take it.
All right.
And then I gain 3 temporary hit points.
It burns!
When you say temporary hit points, like how long do you...
They only last to the end of the encounter.
Yeah.
So you have to be healed eventually. Right, yeah.
But you can get temporary hit points above your maximum, so...
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's the joy of
and then if you lose those first,
you lose them first, right?
Just a buffer.
Exactly. And then Omen. Right. You caught a backswing there. You're not too happy about it.
Yeah. Don't worry. He's. I'll familiarize him with my righteous brand. That's going to be a 22.
That's a hit.
All right.
And that's a minion, so you're going to
so
take him out.
So he's obliterated.
Bam.
Enjoy.
Ooh. The crossbowmen may have to reconsider their tactics momentarily. Jim.
Jim.
Okay.
It's a dark magic moment.
Yeah, I'm going to step in here. Wait, was I in that square?
Up to you.
Yeah, I'll just go ahead and step in here. And I'm going to do magic missile, Jim's magic missile on this guy right here.
Okay.
Hopefully. That's a 9.
Plus 7.
16 versus reflex, is that right?
Yeah.
That's a hit.
Okay, so I'll do 1d6 plus 6.
I'm sorry, you said that guy.
This guy.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay. The one who's bloody.
Yep.
That's a three.
Ooh.
It's good. Plus six is a nine.
Okay, he is looking quite hurt now.
Okay.
Don't think he can take many more of those. At the top of the round, Binwin.
Okay.
All the minions are dead.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yes, he is. What did you get? Have you found me a new?
Yeah. We're going to Reaping Strike.
Okay. So let's. I'm gonna move up to this guy, and I will perform a Reaping Strike. 16 plus 8.
Hit.
And what are the effects of a Reaping Strike?
Well, I'm glad you asked. When you hit, it deals one weapon plus strength modifier damage and everything else. Jeez.
8 plus 8, 16, 17, 20.
Ow. That bloodies him severely and, in fact, makes him just as bad off as the other one.
So that's 20. Okay.
Yeah. 20, so if you had missed, the Reaping Strike deals your strength modifier and damage since you're using a weapon. It's pretty hot.
Awesome. Also, so he's just now bloodied.
Correct.
Is it too late for me to say that I used the weapon magic encounter power of my weapon, the flesh seeking?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a free action, so I can use it.
Oh, great.
So he's hit, and now I will gain a plus one power bonus to my next attack against him next turn.
Awesome. Done.
Because my axe is hungry for his flesh.
All right.
That's what she said.
Whoa!
No!
What?
Hey!
Binwin, your best friend takes another shot at you with a crossbow after backing away, but he misses wildly.
Awesome.
The other one takes a shot at the Eladrin. Ooh.
Oh, I don't like the sound of that.
28.
Yeah, that hits.
He does 8 points of damage.
Ow!
And now it's your revenge.
It certainly is.
So how do you want to get down? You want to overwhelm him?
I think that's what I'm doing, yeah. So, so move me next to him. I will use my overwhelming strike.
Mm-hmm.
So this is wisdom versus AC.
Okay.
I love it.
Targets one creature, and then it does weapon damage plus wisdom modifier. I shift one square, slide the target into the square that I just occupied.
Okay.
If you want.
If I so desire. So where I was here?
Yeah.
All right. Does that still? I'm sorry.
So yeah, you can shift up as a move. That yeah. And now you make your attack action, and you'll be able to do your whole shifty thing again.
All right. So this is. Sorry, this is wisdom versus AC.
Right.
8.
Oh no, that's a 6. So that would be a 9. So I
oh guess. No, that seems low. Only a plus 3.
My wisdom is plus 3. Yeah, my wisdom.
You add half your level too.
Oh, I do.
So you add 1 to that.
Oh well,
to attacks. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So just put a big plus 4.
Woo! Okay.
Next up is
Omen.
Uh oh.
All right.
I'll flank.
Yeah, I'll roll around back, get a little combat advantage.
Okay. Plus 2.
Yep. D20 plus 9. 16 AC. That hits.
No, it doesn't.
Oh.
16 plus 9, you said, or 6 plus 9?
16 total.
Oh, okay.
Versus AC.
That's a miss.
No.
Right. Yes. You included the plus 2, though?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Jim?
Jim. I really want to get rid of this guy.
Yeah, you should.
Magic missile.
All right.
On this dude. 16.
Eek.
Hit.
Yeah. So this is 1d6 plus 6. 7, 8, 9.
He drops. Ah! Thud.
Nice.
Bravo.
That's what Jim does.
You see the one standing out in the rain right now look very, very scared confronting the four of you alone. But it has been Wynn's turn.
I fear not the crossbow. I think another Reaping Strike. Also, I get a plus one against my attack roll, which is convenient because it's I rolled a 4, so 5 plus 8, and versus
AC.
Yeah, that's not going to do it.
13 will not make it. All right.
On his turn, he is going to shift away from you.
And run like the Dickens.
Ah, I had one chance to fell him, and I did not do it.
And he gets to there.
He's pretty fellable. So.
Yeah, he starts to bolt away. He flings his crossbow through the air comically as he runs off down the hillside.
Yeah, he's not going to get away from Jim, I don't think. And that would be my guess.
Then we have the vengeful Eladrin.
I can run, yeah.
Yeah, if you run, you add 2 to your speed.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you get to do that?
You can run as often as you like. You
actually, I don't need to run. I don't need to run.
Okay.
My movement is 6. I'm going to move 6, and bring radiant vengeance down upon him.
Okay.
Which is wisdom versus reflex.
That's it.
18.
Set up a webcam.
19. Yeah.
Why didn't we think of that?
We'll do it next
That's
time.
That's gonna do it.
A nice high res.
And then I do 1d8 plus 4.
Mm. Bring it up.
So I do 8.
Oh, down he goes.
Ah!
Hard.
Just like pitches forward.
Nicely done.
Falls down the downs.
Yeah. All right. This brilliant beam strikes him down. And right. Guys are out of combat.
Yeah,
and I very quietly and to myself put my hand on my implement and praise Melora.
Right, I'll walk out.
You hear another thunder roll above your head.
As I'm walking out, wordlessly, one pat, a single pat on the shoulder.
Okay.
And then I move into this camp and start to fish around. I assume that these cultists have basically turned the place over.
You get that impression that the dwarven prospectors, whoever came up here originally, probably pitched these tents and then fled them, and these guys were basically just looting and using them.
I await our
The campfire is sputtering. It's not really doing too well.
I await our dwarven friend to interpret this scene for us.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Is he still around?
He's at the bottom of the hillside, way over on the east side.
He's like breathing through a reed in this pond.
Jim is going to bring out the old light coin.
Okay.
And toss it into the hole there.
If you call the dwarf, he'll come up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I see the bottom?
In fact, you can, even without tossing the coin down.
Oh, okay.
Because when you look down the
God
hole...
God damn it, my coin!
You can see that... it obviously breaks. Somebody's broken through the flagstones. In fact, there looked like there may have been some sort of old painted crest on the floor of the tower here, but it's all been tossed up. But then you, through the flagstones, you see a layer of sort of clay and earth, and then what almost looks like a mortared chimney or shaft that breaks into a room down below. And there's enough light in the room below that you can see kind of the wet flagstone floors and the pile of rubble that's literally at the base of this shaft. You think it's about a 20-foot drop to the floor.
All right, so essentially what I'm reading is that goblins eventually got tired of attacking the tower itself and decided instead to...
It looks like the way it was... You're not, a skilled mason or anything, but it looks like the way it was excavated was somebody broke through the floor to get to what was underneath, underneath and came up through the floor.
Gotcha.
You can also see... tied to some of the struts of the old staircase that leads up is a rolled-up rope ladder.
Hmm. That's convenient.
Zork-style text adventure. All right. Yeah, yeah.
Get lamp.
Yeah, exactly. So, unhook the latch, let it roll down.
Before we do that, I think we should search the camp.
Oh, we will. We definitely will.
We should search the camp, and we should really press the dwarf for more information.
Jim, make a roll your perception skill. If you look under your skill list, it should be...
Oh, perception three?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You heard a couple voices down below.
Hey, I hear some guys down here.
Hello?
Hey, throw my coin back up.
And for an instant there, you see what appears to be a figure poke its head from underneath and look up the shaft.
I alert my comrades.
Okay.
There's some guys down here.
Well, now, just a figure, kind of like an outline of a figure?
You could see just on the sort of dim torchlight down there, it looked like another one of those skull-faced humans.
Okay. Just heads up.
Yeah.
All right.
So hopefully that means that they're coming up from here instead of out here. Because I doubt very seriously this our dwarf companion wants to accompany us into the bowels of the fucking earth.
You estimate that it's only by virtue of the sound of the rain and the noise of the water pouring down the shaft and the thunder and whatnot that has kept your activities so far undetected.
It's just been noisy out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are we going to get a short rest?
You toss the camp, and you are able to find some food that the bandits have been dragging along with them in a trunk. Essentially, and it's been
good stuff
picked through.
Oh.
But you also find a total of 120 gold pieces.
Yes,
sweet.
I'll take that.
Lining the bottom of the chest.
Yes, I'm acquiring the gold.
You also see in the chest there's a smaller coffer that at one time looked like it contained some vials, but those have been removed.
Oh. Are we?
I see that.
Are we able to have a short rest and
We can do it right here.
Healing surge or whatever?
You totally can.
Okay.
Yeah. So clean up. So, get your shit together.
Yeah. Those of you who took damage can spend your healing surges to regain hit points.
Is this an opportunity for me to hide one of my encounter powers into my scale armor of exploits? Have you heard about this?
I heard you guys talking
about
it.
It's the coolest
thing.
This
is the coolest thing. I can like store up one of my encounter powers mm-hmm. in my armor and then pull that shit out.
I understand, but you can use an encounter power in an encounter anyway.
Yeah, but you can only use it once per encounter.
Now you got one in the bank.
This lets me store one in the bank.
It lets you bank an ability.
So you could use it twice.
Yeah.
I see.
So I'm going to bank my passing attack into that scale.
Pretty fancy armor.
It was expensive, I'm not going to lie to you. In this economy, in these troubled times, it was not a smart buy.
Sorek sort of looks around at the carnage you guys have left and sort of nods some approval. By the way, that giant skeleton that's sort of embedded in the ground, you can actually see bits of that coming up out of the earth, probably some remnant of a creature that attacked the tower from a bygone age. Sorek says, I didn't see any walking dead, but they're around.
You're sure of it? You didn't just see the skulls on the faces and...
The ones I saw didn't have any flesh on their bones.
That means they're probably dead.
I've seen this before.
They're likely skeletons.
Yeah.
He says, maybe I'll hide over there.
before he leaves.
Yes.
If he didn't want to come up the hill, he ain't going to want to come down the hole. I guarantee you that. That's what she
before
said.
He leaves, I ask him what he knows of the bandits.
Yeah. Okay.
And where these are clearly, you know, uniquely identified. They seem to maybe be members of a death cult or something like that. So,
the cult, that's pejorative. I mean, they're death enthusiasts.
Right, death enthusiasts.
You know?
Sorry, yes, my I apologize, I have spoken.
We have sensitivity training here at
He confesses that he doesn't know anything about the skull-faced guys or their history or whatnot, but you guys might.
Would that be a religion check?
That would do.
All right. I'm going to make a religion check.
Yeah, I'll do it.
You believe it does have a religious significance.
18.
In me.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, 20 fucking 4.
Both good rolls.
9 plus 11.
Ooh. Good, 20.
All right. You can all confirm that there is a group of...
Shit going on.
Yes. there is basically a gang that fell in with... Cultists of Orcus.
Oh, no.
Orcus again,
I hate
really?
That guy.
And so in order to feel like part of the greater group, they started to paint skull faces on themselves. And they've basically been seen in the company of Orcus necromancers.
I also love Kiss.
And other nastiness.
They have a Kiss. They have a tribute band.
Yeah.
So are they granted any boons?
As far as you know, no. Okay. They're just Orcus cultists wannabes.
They're just
wannabes.
An adjunct.
Yeah.
They're like Orcus groupies, basically.
Exactly.
Okay.
But they're vicious, and they're calculating, and that seems to appeal to the cultists as well.
Yeah, they're hooked up to the right guy.
You remember what happened the last time we went up against Orcus? It's people.
Everybody died.
We all died.
we required the help of a goblin to save us.
Spork.
Splug.
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 Good old Spork.
His sister is Spork.
I remember him so well.
We hardly knew ye.
It's clear that the rope ladder that they were using to climb up and down the shaft is easily accessible to you. They may have other ones you don't know.
It's not going to work.
Before we go down the hole, say a really brief prayer to your god. You're a cleric, right?
Yeah.
So just maybe give thanks to your god. I have an idea.
Well, I have a very personal relationship with
Evandra. Oh, my god.
<That's> not...
Because every time any of us has made an attempt to communicate directly to our gods...
Oh, you're curious.
Or used a divine power...
Yeah.
There seems to have been some kind of... thunderous reaction, and it might be just good to confirm or eliminate that before we go into the hole.
I will grip the holy symbol, gold-plated. I couldn't afford the real thing. I say a prayer and look up at the sky as I do so.
Okay. There is a roll of thunder, a peal of thunder, as they say, and then there is a blast of lightning that strikes the top of the tower.
Oh, shit!
And you see debris rain down on top of you.
Maybe don't pray anymore.
It's like...
I did not even catch that. I thought that was flavor text.
Okay. Wow.
Make perception checks.
Yeah, so there's no question. It's tied into the
So there's something going on here. This place is...
It's right.
15.
Bad news.
22.
Percepciones.
18 plus 5. 23.
20.
Okay.
Wow.
After that happens, and, you know, some debris sort of rains down, there was something... else that fell down from the top of the tower, and you see it. And it basically just sort of lands in a corner, and it looks like some sort of tube, like a scroll tube. Mm. Like it might have been lodged in a section of the wall of the tower.
I will approach the tube and look at it.
You see that it's a very ornate, maybe elven or eladrin craftsmanship container. There is a prominent crest on the stopper of this scroll tube, and it is a crest that looks like a golden bird with its wings spread on a sort of half and half field of purple and black.
Right. The original owners.
To the crest of Velatra.
Right. The golden hawk crest.
Yes.
Is there anything written on it in Elvish or one of the elven languages that I understand?
As a matter of fact, yes. Written in Elvish on the side of the scroll tube is the words Hand of Fate.
Hand of Fate.
The scary thing is that the only person who can probably read this scroll is Jim.
Anybody with the Arcana check, if there is in fact a scroll inside.
So who's got an Arcana skill?
I have you.
Probably not one. You. Probably Jim.
I have 11.
Trained? Yeah, that's actually very good.
Okay,
so I hold my hand out, my gauntleted hand. I don't want it to touch the skin. I ask to hold it.
I haven't touched it yet.
The scroll tube, by the way, you think it's made of gold, so it has value
in
itself. It's
value in and of itself. I'm going to pick it up.
Okay.
It's got the stopper securely applied.
Yeah.
I sort of turn on my heel toward Jim, kind of cock my head a little bit. I'm taking every historical element of our relationship into account. And I'm just going to give it to Jim. I say, Jim, can you look at this? Can you read this?
Happy to do it, boss.
All right.
So this is my Arcana check.
You're going to basically pull the...
Yeah, I pop the top. Let's all right. In here.
When you look in, you see a piece of paper rolled up. You pull the paper out. It looks like a magical scroll. Ooh. You give it a gander. It appears to be a religious scroll, not an arcane scroll. Mm.
I'm trained in religion.
My religion is 11.
So, yeah, so you're just as equipped to do that.
Oh, yeah. My religion is +7. So
yeah, you're ready to go.
16 +11.
You believe that this scroll has imprinted upon it a ritual called Hand of Fate. Because it's written on a scroll, you don't have to take a great deal of time or any preparation or components or whatever to invoke the ritual. You just essentially use the scroll and do it instantly. You know that when you perform this ritual, you can ask up to 3 questions about possible courses of action, and a translucent hand will appear and indicate with a gesture what is the most rewarding course of action.
Oh my God! That is
For instance,
awesome.
If you describe courses of action that refer to directions or specific objects, the hand points toward the choice that bears the greatest reward. You know, like, should we head down the stairs or go through the doors, that kind of thing. If you describe only a single course of action...
Don't open it up.
Are you really the guy who invented the quickie mart? Yes. Really?
Really?
Yes. Really? Yes. Thank you. Come again.
But, thank you. Come again. But.
No, it'll be like a recipe. Like, it'll be like, either should I have the steak or the chicken?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
if you ask a question like, should we explore the such and such place, the hand will either, you know, tell you to halt or tell you to beckon you to proceed.
Wow. Jim's just going to hand. He's going to tuck it back into the tube.
Okay.
Stopper back on. Hands it back over
to
Omen.
I think that Jim knows what to do.
Yeah.
I don't think Jim needs a hand.
Doesn't need a hand. Jim gives it back to Omen.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll keep a hold of it.
All right.
Being divine magic, is that something I could do with my ritual?
Anybody can essentially, if you're...
Great.
Yeah.
I'll keep a hold of it.
All right.
Done. Yeah. Well, let's unroll the rope ladder.
Okay.
And descend.